just a powerful anointing today. Lindsay, I want to thank you for giving the word. I knew it was you. Just so you know, it's really, it can be overwhelming when the Lord chooses to speak with you through for the first time especially. I know Lindsay has given words to people before, but never with tongues and interpretation, and so it's a big step, you know. And so when the Lord moves on you, it's not like there's someone special. You're just opening up your heart and saying, God, you can move through me, and having that willingness. And so, you know, don't be afraid if the Lord moves on your heart like that to take that step. That first step is the doozy. It's that overwhelming, and you're so full of the power of God inside of you that sometimes just getting it out, it almost feels frustrating because it feels like your body isn't moving as fast as your mind and the spirit wants. And so thank you for being obedient this morning. Amen. Whew. Powerful presence here today. We're continuing on in Isaiah 43. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there for our tithes and offerings series that we're doing. I don't feel like this is an accident. This is on purpose. God's provision at a new level. And last week we talked about behold. And we were sharing how Isaiah had been prophesying to the children of Israel. And if you've read the book of Isaiah, he kind of goes on and on and on. But this word behold was something that a person who was speaking would say this, and there's an exclamation point there in most versions. Some just have a comma, but it was a point he was saying, hey, wake up. You need to listen to this. You need to pay attention. This is something admirable. This is something powerful that I'm about to say that God is going to do. And so we talked about having behold moments in your week. And our behold moment this week, like I said, was our appliances. It is amazing to open your dishwasher, and the kids are still getting used to it. The door in our dishwasher has been broke for a while, and so you had to open it and kind of carry it down. And this one just goes, you know, it's got that catch, so it just goes down beautifully. Amen. We had our behold moment, and then having the lights fixed and electrical things, another behold moment. Those are not coincidences. Say amen. God has a plan and a purpose, and you need to be looking for those behold moments when something happens in your finances, because it's going to be on purpose. And we're going to learn the next part today. We'll read the whole verse, and it says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And today we're going to deal with the next phrase, and it says, I will do a new thing. And one of the commentaries says, something that has never occurred before, something unheard of, and a wonderful event that shall surpass all that God has formerly done. Can somebody say amen? Woo! A new thing. Let me read that again. Something that has never occurred, it's unheard of, a wonderful event that shall surpass all that he has formerly done. And I got excited about this because several years ago, we watched God. We had a second mortgage to our home, and as most of you know, we've pretty much been always a one-income family, and so we had a second mortgage, and we watched God completely wipe that out, paid in full, gone, just like that. So I'm thinking, wow, something he's never done before, and I've already seen him wipe out a second mortgage. Whoa, God, what do you have in store? I mean, you probably can think of stories in your own lives about how God has moved and worked in a powerful way. Well, guess what? The next one is going to be even greater. He's going to do something you have never even heard of him doing before. You're going to look back at your finances and go, what? God, what? This is amazing. This is amazing. You're going to be on your phone doing a lot of, behold, pay attention, listen to this. Because God did a new thing in my finances. Somebody say amen. In another commentary, it says it'll be unprecedented in its wonderful character. Another one says such a work as was never yet done in the world, a wonderful and unheard of thing. All the commentaries are all saying the same thing. This is going to be something that is literally going to rock the world. Amen? And we know in Isaiah, when he was speaking of the things to come. He was speaking of a virgin who would bring forth a child that had never been heard of before, that had never been done before. He would save his people. Amen? And we saw that come to pass. Amen? And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This verse would not be in there unless he had a new thing for us today. Amen? A new thing for us today. A new thing for us today. Something that he has never done before. Something that will be so amazing, everyone around is going to go, behold, wow, look at what God has done. I think this is just an amazing word, even after this last week, because you can feel the weight on people and the heaviness almost, but we need to break forth into joy. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he did this even before we got to this Sunday. He put this on my heart several weeks ago. Behold, you need to tell them, behold, hey, wake up, pay attention, church family. This is something important. You need to listen. God is about to do a new thing that he has never done before, that we're all going to go, wow, oh my goodness, to the point where all you can do is cry and laugh, because it's just, it's almost so amazing, your emotions don't even know what to do with it. I remember when the finances came in to pay off our mortgage. It was above our mortgage, so we actually were able to pay off all of our debt. We were able to pay off, we actually bought a car. We bought a motorhome at the time. It was big, people. It was big what God did in our lives. Amen? And we watched God do that. And I remember when the first call came of what was coming in, I was laughing and crying at the same time, because it was... I had never heard of this happening in my life before, right? I had never seen this happen in our married lives before. I can't even imagine what the next, I mean, yes, I can. I can imagine. I can use my imagination now. I know what it's like. I don't believe in God for the first mortgage, right? Amen. If he paid off the second, he can pay off the first, right? For all of us, so that we can be in that place where we are debt-free, so that we can have an abundance, so we can give to every good work. I know I refer to it a lot, but I look at the Mishler family, and I look at what you did as a church, even over the last couple of years, every time there has been a need, sometimes we didn't even know about it, and the finances came in to bless them. And it was such a blessing to them. It radically rocked their family's world. It showed them over and over again of God's faithfulness. And the last time there was such an excess, they were able to give to other people. This is what God did through you. You were obedient. Imagine that. Now imagine, put up your imagination again, right? It was over 4,500, I think, that we were able to give. Imagine that with everybody debt-free. Can you imagine what that number would be? Maybe our church just takes over and we just pay for their whole year. Why not? Why not be a blessing so they don't have to go around and what do they call that? They come home on furlough and they... Fundraise, thank you. There's another word for missionaries, though, but they're going around and they're trying to raise supporters. They're trying to make sure they have enough. Wouldn't it be awesome to just say, how much you need? Here you go. You go do the work in Mexico. No worries, no stress, no wondering where it's going to come from, and no worries, because this is, as my Aunt Vicky used to say, this is off the top. This is the extra. You're not cutting into any of our finances that we need. This is off the top. Amen? I want to believe for that. Why? Because behold, God says, I am doing a new thing. Let's read that first one again, because I love that. Something that has never happened before, something that is unheard of, a wonderful event that shall surpass all that God has formerly done. Somebody in this place say amen. Amen. You know what you say when you say amen? You're saying, so be it. That's what amen means. So be it. So be it in my life. So be it in our church. Because we can be blessed to be a blessing. I shared with you that we have the Bible reading, and the papers are out there still, and Lindsay and I are doing the read through the Bible in 6 months. And it's a lot of Bible verses. But you know what? I'm excited to read it now because it's a whole new world when you read the Bible in chunks. It's like you see things you've never seen before. And you're like, whoa, wait. He was here, and this is here, and well, how did that get to here? You know, and then you're inquiring of the Lord. How did this happen? When did this happen? I didn't know that Jethro was called Reuel and Jethro, Moses' father-in-law. It was, I mean, all these things that you don't know unless you're reading it in chunks so that you see how it flows, right? Well, when you're in the Word like that, when you're studying, you start to see how powerful God is. And I was seeing through Abraham, it says that you will be blessed, but your seed will be blessed. And because of you and your seed and your children, the whole earth will be blessed. How is the world and the earth going to be blessed? Point to yourself. You're the seed. Jesus came, he was the seed, and through him there are seeds. And all of us play a part in that blessing to the earth. We can't be a blessing if we're just barely getting by. I'm going to say it again. We can't be much of a blessing if we're just barely getting by. If we have to have our needs met, how are we going to meet someone else's needs? Amen? So it's time for the church to put the whole being poor is an honor to God thing away. These are the last days, and if the city can't fund their own organization to supply them with coats so they're turning to the church, then the church needs to be ready to step up and do what they need to do. But we're going to need the finances to be able to do it. Amen? I can tell you right now, as a church, we could do that. We could totally fulfill that need. But part of our job as pastors is training you to think beyond yourselves, to think about the community around you, to think about the world around you. Amen? So you have an opportunity this week. And you may say, well, Shelly, I don't have much. Well, right now, coats are on sale. So maybe you just buy one coat, and that's your seed. And the next time it comes up, maybe buy two. So you've doubled your seed. And the next time it's three. And before you know it, you'll be buying bags of coats. And people will be saying, what in the world are you doing? Or like we did a couple weeks ago, bags of toys. And you're able to say, hey, there's a place in town that needs coats. And my church and I, man, we're filling that. We're filling that need. We're taking care of that. You and your church are doing that? Absolutely. Because I'm blessed. I have extra that I can give. How can you have extra? Because behold, my God is doing a new thing in my life, and it's something greater than he's ever done before, and I'm just getting ready for it. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for this word. We praise you and we thank you, Father, that you are doing a new thing, something that has never occurred before, something we've never heard of, a wonderful event that is literally going to shake us, shake our city, shake our nation, and shake the world when they see what you have done. We're not going to be able to stop talking, Father. We're going to be so overwhelmed. We're going to be laughing and crying and praising and rejoicing all at the same time because it's going to be such an amazing event, super event, spectacular event. And Father, we just thank you and we praise you, God, that we just say amen, so be it in our lives today. That you're going to touch our finances so powerfully, Lord, that it's not just going to be one missionary that we're going to bless, not two, not three, but as many as you bring to our church, we're going to be able to bless. I pray, Father, you would stretch our thinking, that we wouldn't just think of our giving in amounts of small increments, but as big increments, so that we can give to every good work, Father. We just praise you and we thank you for those finances ahead of time. Give us wisdom. Show us what needs to be stored for the future. Show us what needs to be given now. Show us what we need to do even for our own lives, to be blessed in our own lives, Father. Show us each step, Father, and help us to move and work as you're directing and leading and guiding us. But I pray this week, Father, as we have shouted the behold already, I pray this week it would resound in every heart and mind, God is doing a new thing in my finances. God is doing a new thing in my finances. God is doing a new thing in my finances. God is doing a new thing in my finances. And it's just going to be a wonderful event, Father. We just praise you and we thank you for it in advance. Blessed to be a blessing. Abraham's seed, we are blessed so that through us the whole earth can be blessed. We praise you and we thank you. And we call it done today in Jesus' name. And everyone gave a shout of amen. Woo!
Let's try a big amen one more time. One, two, three.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Shelley. That was a powerful message yet again. Praise God. Well, let's pray over today's message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. We receive it all. Just say, I receive it all, Lord, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want you to open your Bible to Psalm 107. And this is actually Vision Day Part 2. So I guess it's Vision Days. Normally we've done our Vision Day in one message, but this year it went into two, so we just go with it. Amen. But this chapter in Psalm 107 is kind of our foundation chapter for our church and something the Lord gave us years ago. And I'm going to look, if you have your notes from last week, they're the same. I printed out some more and put them out front if you need one. Does anybody need one? You can lift your hand and we'll get it to you. All right, we're good. Praise the Lord. So back to page one there, our foundation text for Redeemed Church is Psalm 107, verse 2. And it says this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Somebody say, I'm redeemed. Amen. And that's why this church is called Redeemed Church. Praise the Lord. But and redeem, of course, means to buy back, to pay off, to recover. Those are beautiful words that come from, I believe that's from dictionary.com. And synonyms are phrases like win back, recoup, regain, restore, ransom, change, discharge, exchange, purchase, recapture, reinstate, retrieve, settle, call in, get back, take in, trade in. I mean, these are aggressive words, aren't they? Amen. And I remember hearing a story this past week on Victory Network. By the way, I would encourage you all to be checking in with Victory Network. You can just search out Go Victory on the internet, or I think it's on the Dish channel and so forth, because they have some great things. They do news updates and things like that that are that stuff you are not going to hear on CNN or MSNBC or even Fox now, and just you know, anointed news. Praise the Lord. And so I would encourage you to have that on your phone or you know, have that readily available. It's encouraging for one thing. Amen. But they had a gentleman on there this past week that was doing service for our country in the military in Iraq a number of years ago, several years ago. And he was pretty much framed and put in prison to appease the Iraqi government. Our government did this to him under Obama and Biden. And he'd been in prison for several years, separated from his family because he was doing his job, right? And President Trump just pardoned him right before Christmas. And he was reunited with his family, and they had a video. It was a beautiful thing, right? But that word, discharged. He was discharged. That's a good a good example of what being redeemed is. In that instance, our president was the Redeemer, right? And Jesus, how many know Jesus is our Redeemer, right? And so we have this church, and it's called Redeemed Church, to remind us, to remind anybody who would come in this place or hear us online or whatever, that you have a Redeemer. All you got to do is call on His name. Amen? And so that's Redeemed Church. And then verses, I just want to take a minute and read. It's not a very long chapter. I want to read the whole chapter because these are the people that we're believing God to minister to, okay? And verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." That's a good place to just stop and say, "Thank you, Lord." Somebody to say, "Thank you, Jesus." Amen. Praise the Lord. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy," somebody say mercy, "endures forever." And one of the translations for mercy is loving kindness. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And I love how Brother Copeland has said, it's important not just to remember what I've been redeemed from, but what I've been redeemed to. Amen? So if I've been redeemed from disease and sickness, that means I've been redeemed to health. Amen? If I've been redeemed from poverty, from depression, etc., then I've been redeemed to prosperity, to the joy, etc. Amen? Praise the Lord. And you'd be surprised how many Christians don't get that. Well, Jesus might put that on you in His great infinite wisdom, right? He might put something bad on you because blessings can come in disguises. Somebody say no. No. If it's on the curse list, it's a curse. If it's on the blessing list, it's a blessing, right? So we're learning what we've been redeemed from and where we've been redeemed to. Praise the Lord. "And gathered out of the lands," this is verse 3, "from the east and from the west, from the north, from the south." We're calling people in to Jesus from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Amen? Here we go, verse 4. "They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distress." Their distresses. "He led them forth by the right way." So if there's a right way, there must therefore also be a wrong way, right? "Wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are those who find it. Narrow is the road that leads to life." Amen? "That they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks," verse 8, "to the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness." So this reminds me in this section of the chapter that the wanderers, those people who are wandering out there, right? From religion to religion, relationship to relationship, job to job, whatever, you know. Man, there's a Redeemer. Amen? So praise the Lord. We're calling in the wanderers. Just wander into church. Amen, right? Praise the Lord. Verse 10, "Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God." So see right there. It's not God's will for people to be bound, sit in darkness in the shadow of death, in affliction, addictions, etc. The reason why people are in those states and in those places in their life is because they've rebelled against the words of God. Amen? And despised the counsel of the Most High, right? "Therefore He brought down their heart with labor, fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses, and brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men, for He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two." So people that are, man, they're in chains, addictions, bondages, whatever that may be, there is a Redeemer. Amen? There are many addictions. The devil invents new things to be addicted to every day. I remember Carmen's song back in the 90s or 80s. It's time to get A to J, addicted to Jesus. Amen. Many, many different types of chains, one redeemer. Amen. So it's not a complicated thing to get broke free. One name. Somebody say one name. The name of Jesus. And no matter how things look out there, we just have to continue to maintain this posture of thank you, Jesus. Not in my house, devil. Thank you, Jesus. Not in my family. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. Oh, here we go. Verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food. They drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Amen. So sicknesses, people that are in bondage to disease and sickness and infirmities, there is one redeemer. Man, the devil's inventing new sicknesses and diseases all the time. Pandemics or this demic or that demic. Something that can kill us. One redeemer. Somebody say, one redeemer. There's one Savior. Hallelujah. And we must remember these things. Amen? And preach them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Those who, in verse 23, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters and see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep, he commands and raises the stormy wind which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man at their wit's end. Amen. Anybody ever been at your wit's end? Right? Then they cry out to the Lord in their troubles, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 32, let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness and water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water springs. He makes the hungry dwell that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields, verse 37, and plant vineyards that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them that they multiply greatly. He does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. We're going on and on there. But this reminds me of financial stress and pressure, the business world, building my life on finances. And the financial system of this world is like a stormy sea. Right? And if people build their life on that, they're going down and they'll get to a place where they're at their wit's end. Amen? Hallelujah. We're not looking for our government to bail us out, right? We're looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our Redeemer, and he's the one that will bring us out into greater places. Like Shelley's been wonderful teaching on these things. But those who are in these types of distresses, that's the word that keeps coming up here, distresses. Distresses, at their wit's end. Somebody say, one redeemer. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, verses 41 through 43. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Somebody say, all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness, the mercy, the loving kindness of God of the Lord. Somebody say amen. So we're a place where love reigns, a place where we talk and preach and teach the Redeemer. Amen. A place of hope and restoration and healing and deliverance and prosperity and breakthroughs. That's what it's all about. Amen. Now, last week we did not get to page 2, which is the prophetic words and themes that we tap into for this new year. And it looks like I actually got the year wrong there. I said prophetic words and themes for 2020, which actually should say, of course, 2021. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you this. The prophetic word is under great attack and scrutiny right now. Because of everything we've been believing for and hearing from God, and it looks like in terms of our election and president and these kind of things, our country, it seems like the opposite is actually happening. So what do you do with that? What do you do with that? When it looks like everything you've been believing God for, the opposite is happening. Let me just compliment you for showing up today. It tells me your eyes are not on me. Your eyes are on Jesus, right? And I've been thinking this week, wow, okay, especially after this past week, right? Does anything really surprise God, for one thing, right? And we know the whole extreme left mindset is keep your eye off of what needs to be looked at and direct your attention over here. Amen? And it just seems like there's no end to that. Right? So we keep our eyes on Jesus. We keep our eyes on his words. And you know what? There are some prophetic words that I've received from over the years and even this recently and stuff that the Lord has spoken to me, I believe, that we've preached and taught here that I don't apologize for. It's like, you know what? I'd rather be a guy that brings you something I believe God told me to tell you than question everything that I believe. And just, nah, I don't want to say that. That might rock the boat. Amen? Somebody say, keep believing God. Keep saying what he says. Right? Keep believing his prophets. Amen? And we'll be blessed. Right? So I have to take my eyes off of what it looks like out there and keep my ears and eyes on Jesus. Amen? And so it's interesting that today, and I, you know, wasn't aware of this last week, but today we're focusing on the prophetic word. Where a lot of Christians have shaken it off this week. Ah, that prophetic stuff is just make-believe. Ah. No. Somebody say, keep at it. Keep at it. Amen? And we do check the prophetic word with the word of God. Amen? And we check our own hearts. Does it bear witness with what God has shown? Yes. Amen? So praise the Lord. But Brother Copeland says this, in the year of 2021 is the year of the local church. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. He says this, 2021 will be a year of divine healing. Somebody say divine healing, right? Divine health, divine prosperity. I took this right off of their website. So the all caps thing is that's them, right? Divine recovery. Somebody say recovery. Amen. Isaiah 42:22, the New King James. But this is a parable, but this is a people robbed and plundered. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Right? But this is a people robbed and plundered. All of them are snared in holes, and they are hidden in prison houses. They are for prey, and no one delivers, for plunder, and no one says restore. Somebody say restore. Amen. Jesus is shouting, recover. Somebody say recover, right? Recovery of the healing ministry, recovery of health, recovery of prosperity. It all fits in there together. It is the time that Brother Hagin talked about. It is a time to start preaching the gifts of the Holy Spirit, particularly the power gifts, the gifts of healings, the gifts of miracles, the gift of faith or special faith. Somebody say amen. In other words, I hear keep being the church, right? Keep on being the church. Glory to God forevermore. And, you know, something the Lord, you know, kind of stirred up in me this morning as I was listening to David Barton speaking at EMIC. What a great man of God he is. And I kind of started realizing, you know, it's probably about time to stop thinking about out there in terms of our church. Like we're just passing through this place on our way to somewhere else. It's like I heard the Lord saying, wherever you are, be there. Right? In this government system that we live in, especially moving forward now, there might not be a happy face on churches that are more than 200 for a while. So why be believing God for 5,000, 10,000 Colosseums? He's like kind of refocusing me. Now be praying, right? But what if we just believe God to teach and preach and minister to people that come into this place? This place could sit about 200. And we can use more of the space in this place and focus on discipleship and just believing God to minister to the people that come into this place, right? So we're big thinkers. We are. But let's not, but he's just, now pray for me because this is all the Holy Ghost, right? But in terms of let's just keep our eyes on Jesus and be faithful where you are. Amen? Now, I'm open to his correction in all of that. I'm just saying, you know, when you face a battle, and I love what Brother Barton was ministering on this morning too, in terms of how lions hunt. And he talked about a male lion will sit up there and roar. And they said you can hear the roar for like 5 miles around. And then all the prey just takes off running away from the roar. And the female lions will attack and kill the prey. And he said, you don't run from the roar, you run towards the roar. In other words, we're not hiding and, you know, running away from the devil and all this kind of stuff. We are people who are Holy Ghost mindset, keep on God's agenda mindset. Amen? But it just kind of dawned on me, you know what? This is where we are. While we're here, let's be here. Now, that might not be a revelation to you, but it's just kind of like, hey, there's a lot of space here as we move forward and things, you know, adjust and that kind of thing. Let's just focus. Let's just act like this is where we're called to be. Not pie in the sky, all this kind of stuff. You know, the rapture might happen by this time tomorrow. So let's be here and be about God's business. Amen? So just be praying and all that, right? Jerry Seville says this, that 2021 is the year of abundant overflow. Don't fear the future because it's still bright, and I'll see you through each and every fight. So stay in faith and watch what you speak only, or watch what you say. Speak only my word, and I'll have my way. It's never my will for you to fail. It's always my will for you to prevail. So don't be moved by what you hear and see. This is how you enter into the gates and into greater victories. Be bold and courageous and stay free from all fear, for 2021 is going to turn out to be a great year. I'll take you higher than you've ever been before. This is my promise, and my promises are sure. So stay in my word and rest in me, for this is your year to be totally free. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. And then Brother Jesse Duplantis, he calls his a theme for the year. And his foundation text is, what shall I do for thee, out of 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2. In fact, why don't we just take a quick look at that instead of talking about it. Let's turn over there to it. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2. I'm going to start verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons and to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me. What do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. And you probably know the story. He moves on, he goes on, go and borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons and pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went out from him and shut the door behind her and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel, so the oil ceased. Verse 7, that she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Amen. So that's the, but his statement here is Jesus asking us, what shall I do for thee? Amen. And he kind of sums it up on his website too. You can check it out. I put all the websites of these ministries there for you. You can take a look at them yourself. But know what you want. Amen. What is it that I want? Right? Your blessing may be limited by your capacity to receive. Trust in God's power. It belongs to the righteous, and you are the righteousness of God. Never mind what people say about you asking God to do something. Don't limit God. He is more than enough and always gives in overflowing measure. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. I love Jesse's ministry, right? So know what you want. It's good for us to have a list. To have a list. I was listening to Gary Cassie this past week and his broadcast. He's a great man of God out of Columbus, Ohio. And he was talking about having strategies from heaven. Not just things we're believing God for, but strategies, right? Praying in the Holy Ghost and having, he said, when I pray, I have a notebook open and I'll write stuff down as it comes to me. It's like, hey, that's a great idea, right? Maybe the Holy Ghost will give you an action point. Amen. In my prayer time this year, I'm focusing on mercy of God, glory of God, and faith, fighting the fight of faith. Right? And what I'm already noticing in Genesis, way back in Genesis, is God would show up and say something, right? And I would write glory. That's the glory of God showing up. Or he would do something miraculous, mercy. That's his mercy. And then the man or the woman would take some sort of an action based on what God told them or what he did. Faith, right? So basically what we're talking about here in strategies, God's strategies, is what does God want me to do? That's why I cannot compliment you enough for coming to church. Coming to church is a faith strategy, right? Amen. Even when things look dark, even when it seems like the opposite is happening or whatever, there's some discouragement, we just keep coming to church. I remember a number of years ago when I was in children's ministry, and one of our, man, we had two or three guys in our children's ministry die, like randomly bizarre kind of stuff in our leadership. One guy was flying one of those gyrocopters, and he collided with somebody as he was taking off, and they died. And that was like on Saturday, and we had to show up on Sunday for work. And there's just this heaviness on you. Now we know he's with Jesus, but what in the world, right? And we're doing our pre-service prayer, and Pastor Scott, he's my mentor, on his staff back then, and we're both just hurting over this, but you show up anyway. Amen. You show up anyway. Even if it looks like the devil has won. And we were talking about this yesterday in my house, and Lacey brought a great question. I don't want to embarrass Lacey, but she's wonderful. Oh, our kids are wonderful. But she said, Dad, all these prophetic words and everything, she said, you know how President Trump came out and made a statement this week that we'd done everything we can do And so we're going to have a peaceful transition, but this is just beginning. But he was basically conceding, you know, and so forth. But his statement was, we've done everything we know to do, right? And Lacey brought this great point. I said, that's a great point, Lacey. She said, Dad, isn't it true that if God says something, even if the person that's in the right has surrendered and just yielded, God could still speak up. His word could still come through and something awesome could happen. Isn't that true, Dad? I was like, yes, that is a great point. That is a great point. Amen? And so and we're saying, you know, we've heard these prophetic words over our year and over our government and leadership and over our lives. And even if it looks like the opposite is happening, and I asked her, I said, and all my kids, I said, can we think of anywhere else in the Bible? In the Bible I'm talking about, this Bible, where everything looked bad and God showed up and turned it all around. Can we think of, and she mentioned, I think, Daniel in the lion's den. I mean, things look bad. But God shut the lion's mouths, gave him favor with the king, and all those who put him there were punished instead of him, right? I mean, you can go right through the Bible, story after story after story after story, where God shows up, shows himself faithful for his church, for his people. Amen? So, marvelous thing. So, looking for the mercy of God, the glory of God, right? I don't want to go acting out in faith without a word from God. That's called presumption, right? Faith comes by hearing God's word, right? And that shows me what to do, what to say. And I believe we've been doing and saying what God has been telling us to do and to say. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So what are we doing? We're positioning ourselves for a breakthrough. How many know if I'm flying out to Houston today, I'm going to have to position myself to be at the gate of the flight that's going to Houston. Otherwise, I'm going to Houston. Well, shouldn't you? You got your tickets? No, I'm going to Houston though. No, you got to position. Somebody say, position yourself. How do we do that with God? We worship. We show up for church. We stay in our Bible. We don't get disillusioned and disoriented and discouraged. Man, I was moping around the other day, I think Friday afternoon, just kind of moping around on my day job. And it wasn't right. I knew I was not right. I was listening to sports. It's like, I need a drink. Turn on some sports. And I'm kind of moping around. And I had a break, so I was wandering around in like Burlington Coat Factory over in Clackamas. I had 30 minutes. I have to get off the clock. So I'm looking at stuff and the Holy Ghost spoke up into my heart, and he said, Steve, what are you excited about? What are you looking forward to? And I was like, thank you. I'm looking forward to being with my family tonight. I'm looking forward to having dinner with my family, being with my kids, hanging out with my dog. I'm looking forward to church on Sunday, hallelujah. I'm looking forward to heaven. You know, it's like he had to kind of give me a little. Let me ask you, what are you excited about? What are you looking forward to? What do you believe in God for? We need to have these things always ready to refer to. Amen. So when doubt and discouragement and disillusionment stick their ugly heads up, we just go right to that. Amen. And like Psalm 107 repeatedly comes back to, and they pray and give thanks to God, right? Hallelujah. Somebody just say, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, for our church, you can, you know, our website is redeemed-church.org. You can listen to lots of messages on there, radio broadcasts. We have links for these ministries that I have listed here and others. I would keep David Barton's ministry, Wall Builders, handy, especially moving forward for especially those of us who have kids, because history, we need to keep our history accurate. There are those who want history to be history. Amen? So we just keep on it, right? But our theme for 2021 as a church is going to be God's great mercy, as far as I know, and fighting the good fight of faith. In scriptures like Psalm 32, verse 10, that says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him." Amen? So we're going to minister on these things this year. Hallelujah. And I think next Sunday I'm probably going to do a message on both of these just to kind of give a nutshell version. And then we'll spend much of the rest of the year just embellishing on that, as the Holy Ghost would have it, right? And I'm excited about it. 1 Timothy 6:12 says this, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Somebody say, fight the good fight of faith. Amen. See, as Christians, when the devil puts his head up and says, boo, we can't turn into little babies and go hide, quit, right? Well, I guess I'll just, can't beat them, join them. I'll just go ahead and join them. Right? No, somebody say, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. Amen? And for me, that tends to be not so, I love a pastor, Rick Renner. I read a great article from him last year, and he summed it up by saying, you know, they've done all these tremendous works in Moscow, Russia. Now, if the Lord can use you to build a ministry in Moscow, Russia, now there's got to be a little bit more oppressive government system in that area, right? But he said, you know what? The Lord has used us to build this ministry in Moscow, Russia, and churches and television. And he said, my greatest battles have not been with the devil. He said, my greatest battles have been with myself. He said, the Lord showed me if I can conquer myself, we can change the world. Amen? So I've got to be keeping myself in line with, hey, listen, Steve, right? How many know? I know we're going just a little bit over, but we are a spirit. Somebody say, I am a spirit. I have a soul, and I live in a body. Right? And the word tells me to walk in the spirit. Amen? My soul, my mind, will, and emotions, and my body can easily be overwhelmed by, Pastor George calls it, the devil's pile-up method. But my spirit does not wear out. Amen? My spirit man can just keep going and going and believing and believing and confessing and confessing and standing and standing. So I've got to keep myself in that mindset of, hey, soul, hey, body, you're coming with the spirit. My spirit man is not following how I feel today. Amen. And that's called fighting the good fight of faith. Somebody say, stay in the faith. Amen. Let's all stand up and we'll close our service today in prayer. But praise the Lord forevermore. Praise the Lord forevermore. Just lift your hands and thank and praise the Lord for His glorious presence in this place today. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your glorious presence. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory to God. Father, we commit these words to you today, Lord. I don't know that I spoke everyone exactly right, Lord, but I know your Holy Ghost is here. I know He is with us. I know you're leading us and guiding us. And we bind again, Lord, any spirit of discouragement and heaviness, and we put on the garment of praise and thanksgiving to you. We receive your awesome words toward us, Lord. God, we lift up our president, Mr. Trump, and Mr. Pence and their families. And Lord, we speak encouragement over him especially, Lord, and his family today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, for the plan that you have for him continually, that is a plan for good and not evil. You've given him a hope and a future. And we thank you, God, for continuing that, Lord Jesus. And continuing that in all of our lives, Lord. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. Somebody just lift your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, amen.